I am reminded of a scene from the science fiction movie Logan's Run, where a plastic surgeon uses a laser to cut the skin, makes the cosmetic change, and then seals the wound with a laser, leaving no scar. Although this seemed an impossible feat of technology at the time, real science has edged a little bit closer to it. Researchers at the Massachusetts General Hospital are using light to stitch surface wound openings back together. The process is called nanosuturing or photochemical tissue bonding. And I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Irene Kochever, Professor of Dermatology and Chemistry at Harvard Medical School Wellman Center for Photomedicine and Massachusetts General Hospital, Harvard Medical School. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My first question is, what is the basic science behind this process and where did it originate?
Well, let me tell you just a little bit. I'm a photochemist, and so I look at how light changes molecules. And there is an older technology for sealing tissue together called laser welding, where light energy is used to heat up the tissue and fuse the two sides of tissue together.
Mm-hmm.
As a photochemist, I thought I could do this in a much better, much more selective, cleaner manner, because when you use heat energy, it spreads around in the tissue and damages that whole environment. So what we did was to use a dye that absorbs light. We put this dye that only coats the surface of the, say, the two pieces of tissue we want to put together, say, the wound walls. It stays close to the surface, so it only absorbs light there. When we put the two surfaces together and expose that tissue to, in this case, green light, the molecules of the dye absorb the light energy and generate covalent bonds, strong bonds between the collagen molecules in the tissue. So it's basically putting the molecules back together again where, on a molecular level. You know, most suturing involves putting in stitches that are spaced maybe a quarter of an inch apart or something of that sort. And so there are gaps in between the sutures. What we're doing is putting together the tissue on a really microscopic or submicroscopic level on a molecule-by-molecule basis. So you can almost think of it as sort of like a micro-Velcro, just really sealing. And so it doesn't leave gaps in the tissues.
How strong is the bond? And what happens right after the skin is sealed? How well protected is it?
Well, the bond is formed immediately. So as soon as the light is turned off, and the light goes on for maybe 1 to 3 minutes, depending upon the application, the bonds are formed. So there's no curing process afterwards. That bonding, is called strong enough.
Mm-hmm.
That is, if I pulled on it, I could open up again. It's not as strong as sutures initially, but it's certainly strong enough so that the tissue doesn't come apart. We completed a clinical style study, and when I say we, in this case, it's Dr. Sandy Sow here at the Mass General Hospital. She was taking skin cancers or unusual moles off of people's skin. And to do that, she makes a sort of football-shaped incision, or excision, actually, of the skin, brings the bottom layers of the skin together with subcutaneous sutures that are absorbable, and then sealed half of the wound with the tissue bonding technique and the other half with her usual technique, which is putting in superficial sutures.
Mm-hmm.
So in that clinical study of 31 patients, there was no what is called dehiscence. The wound did not open up at all. So when you ask how strong it is, for this application, it was strong enough to hold the tissue surface together as well as the superficial sutures did.
So in terms of the advantage, if we compare these two closure techniques, what advantages, first off, from a cosmetic perspective, secondly, from a structural perspective, and thirdly, from specific tissues that would be better served by this particular procedure as opposed to using sutures in terms of clinical applications for various traumas or damage?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, from a cosmetic perspective, because we don't use sutures on that top layer, You don't see any of the crosshatch marks, the railroad track marks that you've probably seen on tissue that has been sealed with sutures. So it's, at the most you see is a thin line. And so it's really, let's say, night and day difference between looking at a, a sort of a neat line. And the dermatologists know how to position this line so it's hidden as much as possible on the skin. And the, but if you're using sutures, you know, a good half of the people end up with prominent crosshatch marks. So there's, I think, a clear difference. And if I can just say a little bit about that, one of the reasons that we see this difference is that when you put a needle with thread, you know, suture thread through the tissue, you irritate the tissue, and the cells in the tissue don't like that thread being there. Mm-hmm. And so they set up an inflammatory response. The cells become activated. They make all sorts of enzymes and other proteins. And the skin becomes very red. So if you looked at a sutured wound, you'd see it's quite pink right along where the sutures are. And that's considered normal, except that in our case, since we don't use those superficial sutures, we don't have any of that inflammation. So it's almost considered abnormal that you're not getting any. you know, it's just sort of a dermatologist would expect to see a pink line along, or pinkness around where the sutures are. But that inflammation, that stirring up of the cells and making them activated, is what leads to the crosshatch marks. You make too much collagen too quickly for it to organize neatly, so you get those white marks that are disorganized collagen.
Is there a specific length of length limit to closure? Is this looking at smaller wounds, or are there applications, for example, down the road? Abdominal surgery, closing up the abdomen, or other areas of the body where you have a larger potential for scarring and long suture line?
No, there's no theoretical reason why it couldn't be longer. The light source we used was a linear light source that was 2.5 centimeters long, so that's all we were able to do in the study. So if we had a 5-centimeter excision line, we would do 2.5 with the light source and 2.5 with sutures.
Mm-hmm.
You could make a much longer light source if you used various, you say, a string of LEDs or something like that. So there's no reason you couldn't cover longer lines.
Mm-hmm. So when you're doing this closure, though, does the skin, in terms of the procedure, the dye is applied on the edges,
mm-hmm.
and the skin is approximated together, and then the light is placed on it? How do they go about sealing it up?
Okay, so actually, when we were doing this clinical study, we actually didn't do any, after the dye was applied to the upper wound edges,
mm-hmm.
we really didn't do any special approximating of the tissues, because Sandy Sow, the dermatologist, is very good, and when she puts those deep sutures in, she really lines up the edges very, very closely. You know, there's a teeny bit of a gap, but that did not lead to, say, a wide line
mm-hmm.
at all. In fact, we had, in this study, photos taken after 6 months, and those photos then are evaluated blindly by a panel of 3 very experienced dermatologists. And when they measured that line on the photos, the line, the actual line, not even counting the suture marks, was thinner on the tissue-bonded side than on the sutured side.
Mm-hmm.
So approximation of the tissue right at that surface doesn't seem to be a something that you have to overcome.